question and answer program everyone enjoys.
I would say yes.
That's right.
That's right.
Here are the questions.
Harry and Annette both have the correct answer for our question one. Let's see if George in Fremantle has an answer for us. Good evening, George.
Good evening, Suzanne. How are you going?
What's happening in WA tonight?
Not a lot. Very quiet. Not too much rain. A bit of fierce sprinkle this afternoon. But, yeah, and it's quiet. And my radio doesn't play the quiz.
Oh. Well, can you use the Listen app?
No, I listen to them via the TV.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, you've got an option then. That's good.
I think it's on the TV. I've got the TV on, but I've got the sound turned off. So,
well, once you get off the radio, you can go and test it out.
Yeah, I probably won't be on the radio too long. But anyway, I listen to the first answer.
Okay. Question one. In 1521, which European explorer became the first to cross the Pacific?
I think it was Magellan.
It was Magellan. Nicely done. Question two, George. In 1960, Swiss oceanographer Jacques Picard and US Navy Lieutenant Don Walsh became the first humans to reach the bottom of what location in the Pacific Ocean?
I guess who were the explorers?
So it was Swiss oceanographer Jacques Picard, US Navy Lieutenant Don Walsh. They became the first humans to reach the bottom of what location in the Pacific Ocean?
First humans to reach? The only notable place as far as going down, I would say, would be the Mariana's Trench, but they wouldn't have gone down themselves, I wouldn't have thought. But I'll say the Mariana's Trench.
No, you're right. It is the Mariana Trench.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But hang on. They didn't go down, surely. They didn't go down in the...
Yeah, they went down in a bathyscape.
Bathyscape
to a depth of 10,916 metres. They've also since then, filmmaker James Cameron went down in 2012. And in 2020, a former astronaut, Kathy Sullivan, became the first woman to get to. The actual point is Challenger Deep, which is the deepest point of the Mariana Trench.
Yeah. The only reason I thought of that was because it's the only place that I thought that had a name that people did go down to, you know. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah, anyway.
Anyway, that's it. Now, thanks to Harry, who has an interesting factoid about Ferdinand Magellan. Harry says, he did cross the Pacific. He only got as far as the Philippines where he died, but his body made the full circumnavigation. I reckon once you've gone, though, from, Cape Horn to the Philippines, you've crossed the Pacific Ocean. So, yes, but thank you. Thanks for that, Harry.
The western edge of the pretty much, although the, actually, I did check this at one stage. There is a particular place where they say the Pacific Ocean ends and the Indian Ocean starts. There is a sort of delineating point, but I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, I wonder where that.
One of those. There is a defining point, there is on pretty much all oceans.
Yeah, it'd have to be somewhere in Southeast Asia, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it is. I can't remember. I did look it up because I'm a bit of a nutter on looking things up pique my interest.
Right, let's try question three, shall we? Who led the mutiny on the Bounty in 1789?
Who led the...
mutiny on the Bounty,
Christian. Fletcher Christian. What did I say, Christopher? Fletcher Christian.
Fletcher Christian. I know, Christian Fletcher would also work as a name, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And I always remember... What does confuse me, I don't know whether you ever saw a movie called, what was it called now? It was something mutiny. It was called the Cane Mutiny. That's right. I always think about the Cane Mutiny when they talk about mutiny on the Bounty. But Cane Mutiny was a movie with Humphrey Bogart, and I don't know if you ever saw it.
No.
He was a bit of a, well, a bit of a nutter. Anyway, yeah, not just I'm drifting.
Okay, question four for you, George. During World War II, only two parts of the United States were invaded. One was the island of Guam, which was occupied by Japanese forces, as we heard about in This Week in History a couple of weeks ago. What was the other? It was an island chain, a Pacific island chain.
US islands. Wouldn't it have been the Marshall Islands, would it?
Is that your answer?
Well, I can't. Well, I mean, there's lots of islands I could think of, but that's the only ones I could think I would suggest.
It is not the Marshall Islands.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, thanks, George.
No problems. See you later.
Catch you another time. Oh, a few of the normal texters are saying they're a bit slower than usual tonight. It's okay, Ray in the Bay. I'll know that you were probably texting 2 minutes ago by the time I've actually seen your SMSs come in. 1-300-800-222. It is a little quiet on the lines, I'm imagining, because, well, we've lost quite a few people who are listening to the cricket. Andrew from Northern Victoria. G'day, Andrew.
Hi, Sharon. How are you?
Yeah, doing well. Whereabouts in Northern Vic are you?
Between Tongala and Echuca.
Are you along the Murray?
Yeah, well, we're a bit not far off the Murray. Not far off the Murray.
Nice.
But a couple of weeks ago, you were saying that somebody, you got a number of 90-year-olds rang up. Do you remember me ringing you up for my 90th birthday on the 8th of December?
Oh, gosh. I mean, a few people ring up. Maybe I do. Was that the night that three people rang up and said that if they were inspired to ring up because you'd rung up?
Yeah, that was it, yeah.
Wow, yeah. And you're back again.
It took me a long time getting back, didn't it?
Yeah.
But I was going to ring you up the next weekend to tell you that I knew the answer, but I give you the wrong the wrong number. I knew that 25 years was the Silver Women anniversary.
Ah, that one.
But anyway, the next week I was going to ring you up, but unfortunately, Bondi
put an end
to that one. And then you went on holidays, and then you took a spell for Philip. And so eventually I've got back to you.
Here we are 7 months later, Andrew.
Yeah.
Well, look.
I don't think I'll do much good at the quiz.
You know what? It's the participation that counts. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's all about being part of the nightlife family. Okay. During World War II, only two parts of the United States were invaded. One was the island of Guam, which was occupied by Japanese forces. The other was a Northern Pacific island chain. Which was it?
Oh, I've gone blank. My 90-year-old brain has gone blank. No, I can't think of it.
No. Well, Andrew, it was excellent to hear from you again. Don't leave it another 7 months, hey?
Yeah, we hope.
Okay.
We hope.
I mean, we'll be approaching your 91st birthday soon, won't we?
I'll be, that's right. I mean, 91st year, yeah. Still doing reasonably well.
Very glad to hear it. All right, Andrew, thank you. Very very nice to have you on board. Here's Trev in Surfers. Hello, Trev.
Hello, Suzanne.
How are you in 99 tonight?
99 is snoozing. She had a very good night at Goldie's Hotel tonight. We sat there. There was a folk singer there, and she wanted to join in. If there's somebody with a microphone and a stage, 99 goes, well, this is for me. But I had to hold her back. But tomorrow night at the same venue, Goldie's Hotel, we'll be singing karaoke, and we're going to be doing Hollywood 7. By Johnny Mush.
I don't know that song. But do you know, Trev, in a remarkable coincidence, I expect to be doing karaoke tomorrow night too.
What will you be singing, Suzanne?
It will depend on what's available. because...
Well, what are your songs? All of us have half a dozen, you know?
Well, you like, see, the thing is, I think we're going to end up, you know how a lot of the karaoke bars are kind of Korean or Japanese, and if you do those, you get kind of the greatest international hits. You don't get a lot of Australian content, though, which means that my normal go-to, which is K-San, is never available.
Look, K-San is available at Goldie's. I suggest you hop in a plane and an Uber. Come to Goldie's tomorrow. I will pay for your Uber. You're going to have to pay for your own airfare, girl. But, K-San, look, I've never done it karaoke because I'll do Flame Trees as a... Cold Chisel song, but K-San, no, there's too many dickheads who want to join in and sing. It's like doing, an Oasis song in an
Irish pub. But the thing is,
Trev, pom puts their arms around each other and want to stop a steal it.
See, I think the thing with K-San, though, Trev, is that actually most people don't have the lyrics down pat, so they'd like to sing along, but most people can't.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I'll tell you a story. Years ago when I was in Albury Wodonga, we went out on some day and there was some at a winery, there was some karaoke going on. I put my name down and they said, "Oh yeah, next up Suzanne, she's gonna do K-San." And this big kind of beefy bloke, he'd been on before me and he looked me up and down and he went, "Oh, do you need some help, love?" And I was like, "Oh well, you know, if you think I need help, maybe you should stick around." Anyway, I did the first verse, and then he just looked at me and he went, "Yeah, you don't need me," and he left the stage. Girl. He'd seen that I was more than capable.
I think everybody who knows you and has seen you would think the same thing.
Right,
car parks make me jumpy,
and I'll never stop the dreams. Oh, the growing need for speed and Novocaine. Goodness me, what are we doing here?
No, you're going to have to talk to your therapist about that.
Yeah. All right. But anyway, look, when we reconvene in a couple of weeks' time, we can reflect on our Monday night, July the, what is it, the 5th karaoke session.
Thank Christ we're over the 4th. God.
Okay, Trev. We're still talking about America, though. This question is, during World War II, only two parts of the US were invaded. One was the island of Guam. The other was which Northern Pacific island chain?
It would have to be Hawaii.
It is not Hawaii. I mean...
They were invaded?
No, they weren't. They were bombed, but they weren't invaded.
Oh, boy. Yeah, sorry. Splitting hairs.
I don't think so. Thanks, Trev. See you later. Oh, Lorenzo says it's too bogan to do K-San. Yeah, I do Madonna too, Lorenzo, but K-San is my song. David in Mount Cola. Good evening, David.
Oh. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello. Do you want to tell us anything, share anything, your karaoke song?
My go-to karaoke song is Stuck in the Middle with You by Steelers Wheel. I won't do any of it now, but I think K-San's a bit long. I sort of don't like people when they go up and do, say, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody or something. You think, oh, yeah, they're getting their, you know, 9 minutes worth, but I just like my 3 minute songs, you know. Right.
Oh, no, I'll go and dominate as long as I can, David.
Sounds like
Yeah. Sorry. Harry in the Bay has the correct answer to this. So does Doug from Mornington and Eric in Melbourne, Jane in Homebush, Annette in Perth, Ray in the Bay. Yes, Ray, you also had a lovely autocorrect there as well, but you've got it too. Okay, David, you know which other part of the US was invaded during World War II? One was the island of Guam. One was a Northern Pacific island chain.
Yeah, I think they fought over a couple of islands, which may not have had that much strategic value. I think it was in the Aleutians.
The Aleutian Islands, exactly. They are, these Aleutians, they're near Alaska, and in June 42, small parts of the islands were occupied by Japanese forces. The Attu and Kiska were the islands. They were invaded maybe to divert American forces away from the main Japanese attack at Midway Atoll. But the US Navy, having broken the Japanese naval codes, thought it was probably a diversion, so they proceeded as such and didn't spend a lot of effort defending the islands, but more than 90 Americans were taken to Japan as POWs. Right, David, question five for you in our Pacific-themed history quiz tonight. Sculpted between the 13th and 15th centuries, Easter Island, or Rapa Nui, is home to more than 900 stone statues that go by what name?
Are they Moai?
Moai is the correct answer, David. Well done. Question six. Which Pacific Island archipelago was designated as UNESCO's first World Heritage Site in 1978?
Hmm. Pacific Archipelago, UNESCO site. I just have to take guess. Well, I'll say the Galapagos. I'll say the Galapagos Island.
The Galapagos is correct. Do you kind of think of them, though, as more South American than Pacific?
You do, actually. You don't sort of say with, you know, anywhere near Australia anyway.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was the first, which is an excellent fact. Question six. Oh, no, question seven. Completed in 1914, the Panama Canal links the Pacific Ocean to which sea?
So the Pacific, and you go to the Caribbean Sea.
Caribbean Sea is correct.
I think it goes actually when you hit the Caribbean, you're actually further west than the Pacific, which is a bit unusual, but it's just sort of up back that way.
Mm. Oh, that's quite it. Well, because of the curve of Central America.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Ah, how interesting. Okay, who was killed at Kealakekua Bay in Hawaii on February the 14th, 1779?
James Cook.
Captain James Cook. Speaking of Cook, question nine. Which Pacific island was settled in 1788, largely because Cook had noted on his 1774 voyage that the island grew flax and was plentiful in timber, both of which he thought would assist in producing sails and masts for ships?
Well, I know that in 1788 they did settle Norfolk Island. I'll just go Norfolk.
Norfolk is correct. Very well done. Although the resources didn't live up to their hopes, and so they ended up putting the area to growing food supplies for Sydney. They thought the flax was no good and the wood from the Norfolk pines proved to be too brittle. So the whole idea didn't quite work out, but got used in other ways.
A bit of overflow of prisoners and convicts.
Yeah. Question 10 for you. Which French painter was renowned for moving to firstly Tahiti in the 1890s and then later the Marquesas Islands in the Pacific, where he painted works such as Tahitian Women on the Beach and Horsemen on the Beach?
Was that Paul Gauguin?
It was Paul Gauguin. You are doing very well tonight, David. I'm just going to check how many you're on. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think that is your seventh question correct.
Oh, wow.
That is impressive. Right, where am I? I'm all over the place here. Question, what did I say we're up to? Question 11. Polynesian wayfinding, an ancient seafaring technique by which people could travel vast swathes of the Pacific, was reliant in part on observing and remembering the positions of more than 150 what?
The only thing I could think of would be stars. I'll just go with stars.
Stars is correct. That is 8 correct for you, David.
This is where I usually bomb out.
Question 12. True or false? The French overseas territories of French Polynesia, New Caledonia, and Wallis and Futuna all adopted the euro on January the 1st, 2002.
Okay, I've been in New Caledonia. I don't think they used the euro. I think they kept using the franc. So I'll say false.
False is correct. That is your 9th question correct, David. You know what happens, don't you, if you get 10 questions correct?
Get a black magnet.
You get the elusive black magnet. Very few people have actually won the black magnet. Let's just build up the tension and the drama. Okay, question 13. Your 10th question, let's see if you're going to get it right. Theories that trade between South America and the Pacific Islands was taking place well before European sailors explored the Pacific is supported by the historic prevalence of which South American crop amongst Pacific Island nations?
This is probably where I'm going to bomb out. I'm just going to take a guess at what was traditionally obtained there, and I'll say breadfruit.
It is not breadfruit.
Oh, no.
David.
No.
Oh, you were so close. That was still a stellar performance, David. Extremely impressive.
Thank you, Zane.
Thanks for playing. Ah, there goes David in Mount Cola. An excellent performer tonight in our Pacific-themed history quiz. Right, let's have a yarn with Ian in Kalorama. Hey, Ian.
Good evening to you, Suzanne.
What's happening, Ian?
I'm just actually reeling in admiration for David's nearly unbeaten effort there. He's so close to the black magnet, wasn't he? It was quite exciting.
It was. It was exciting. Now, how do you feel that you might go with this question, Ian?
You know how you get those callers, they say, oh, look, I reckon I knew the last 5 or so questions.
Yes.
I've known none of them.
Maybe this is the one, though.
Well, I'm gonna go with my personal addiction. I'm going to say coffee beans.
It is not coffee beans.
Good evening to you, Suzanne. Enjoy your break.
Good evening to you, Ian. No, Karen, and yet no, Maria. We've tried breadfruit too. Leroy and Penrith, more or less, yes. No, Nate. No, Lorella. No, Jim. No, Eric. No, Harry. No, Morgan. 1-300-800-222 if you would like to play. Here's Roger in Perth. Hi, Roger.
Good evening, Suzanne.
All right, let me ask the question again. Theories that trade between South America and the Pacific Islands was taking place well before European sailors explored the Pacific is supported by the historic prevalence of which South American crop amongst Pacific Island nations?
No, I've got no clue, but I'll just guess potatoes.
It is not potatoes per se. Oh. Thanks, Roger. He wasn't too far off. You kind of need to build on what Roger had to say, and that might help you with the answer. Here's Jim.
Oh, poor David. His 10th question had to be question 13, didn't it?
Oh, it did. That's what did him in.
Well, I was thinking potatoes, but... would it be a sweet potato?
It is a sweet potato, Jim.
Oh.
It is. Yeah, no. They actually found, it's really interesting, they've got archaeological evidence of sweet potatoes in the Pacific that they reckon they've carbon dated to between 988 and 1155 AD Fragments dating back to 12 to 1300 have also been found in Hawaii, New Zealand, and on Easter Island. So the South American origin is also supported by linguistic evidence because the Polynesian word for the tuba, kumara, is nearly identical to the Quechua word, which is kumara. So there you go.
That's proof enough for me.
Yeah, it works for me too. Question 14. On which Pacific island was... Oh, no, hang on. That was 14. 13, 14. I think I'm right. I hope I'm right. Question 14. On which Pacific island was Japanese soldier Shoki Yoki discovered in 1972, where he'd remained since the end of World War II in 1945, refusing to surrender?
I've heard about this story, but I'm not too sure about the island. I'm going to just have a calculated guess and say Borneo.
It is not Borneo, I'm sorry. Okay. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you. Now, Ruby in Melbourne actually suggested this topic, so I think we'll go to you next, Ruby. Hello.
Hey, Suzanne.
You excited to have your quiz?
I am. Thank you.
Made flesh here on Nightlife tonight.
I'm so excited. Yeah, a few weeks ago, maybe it was a couple months ago, you did the Russia quiz and someone got 10. And I thought, oh, that's so impressive. I wonder what I could do. And the closest one was the Pacific, because I've done Pacific studies and then I lived in New Zealand. But I've only known a couple tonight. So, yeah.
Okay, so this would be your hard quiz topic.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, Ruby, if you were listening to the show a couple of weeks ago, you'd have the answer to this one already.
Yeah, I do. I think it's Guam.
Guam is correct.
Yes. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, we did that very interesting history of Guam. I think that was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really interesting. I liked that interview.
Yeah, so many people were texting in, saying, oh, this just takes me back. I've been to all of these places that they're talking about.
Well, yeah.
Okay, question 15, Ruby. Which Pacific Island nation became independent in 1968 and by the mid-70s was the world's second richest country per capita? Today, though, it ranks well outside the top 100. Which country is this?
I've got a few options. Either Samoa or Cook Islands, but I don't know which one I'll go with. Maybe Samoa?
It is not Samoa, no.
Damn it. Okay.
Thanks, Ruby. Thank you so much. I really love the topic.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Thanks so much.
All right.
Good night.
Always good to talk to you. Here's another Nightlife legend. He's back again. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Suzanne. How's your week been?
You
were missing on Friday, weren't you?
I was. My father was in town. So and my sister-in-law is actually, and my nephew are actually all here at the moment.
Oh, good.
So I was having some family time.
That's permitted, yes.
Oh, you sure, Brian? Thank you. Thank you. And what's the news from the Gap Bowling Green?
Well, I haven't been able to bowl because I was just telling Lockie I'm having a problem with my cold water supply. The washing machine was leaking and had to turn the water off. I have to get into the garage next door. So I've managed to do that, but the people haven't been home all weekend, so I can't get the water turned back on. So anyway, having solved the problem with the washing machine. Anyway,
why did that mean you couldn't go bowling? Was that because you didn't have clean bowling outfit?
Oh, well, during bowling hours, we were working on stopping the leak in the washing machine. It's a very complicated thing. Much too long for Nightlife.
Okay, I see. It's all about the priorities, and getting the washing machine fixed was more important than bowling.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, now, Brian, this is the question I'm up to. Okay, 15. Which Pacific Island nation became independent in 1968 and by the mid-1970s was the world's second richest country per capita, but today ranks well outside the top 100.
I think I probably have no idea. Guam.
No, it is not Guam.
I'm surprised.
Thank you, Brian. Now that you've got back into the habit, keep it going. I mean, ring Libby Gore, but make sure when I'm back in a couple of weeks, you come back too.
Now that I'm back, you're going.
It's nothing personal, Brian. It's merely a coincidence.
I'm pleased to hear that.
Yeah. Okay. And Brooke, Brian, if we get this nightlife calendar up and running, be sure that we will be approaching you for a shot.
I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, there's a possibility that we might be making a nightlife calendar featuring pictures of some of our listeners. There's been a lot of a push to have you in our calendar, Brian. So we'll be trying to get you to pose with your bowling ball on the bowling green if this happens.
All right.
So look, keep your phone on just in case our agents call.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. There is Brian. Who's up next? Let's go to Dan in Adelaide. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Suzanne.
Dan, we're on question 15 in our Pacific-themed quiz tonight. I want you to tell me which Pacific Island nation became independent in 1968 and by the mid-70s was the world's second richest country per capita, but today ranks well outside the top 100.
Yeah, that question rang a bell with me. I thought it was to do with the sale of phosphorus for farming, the guano deposits in Nauru.
Is Nauru your answer?
Yes.
Nauru is the correct answer. Yeah. They basically exhausted the whole thing, all of the phosphate resources. The whole thing collapsed. And now basically their income is pretty much foreign aid coming from Australia. Mm. Oh. Question 16 for us. The Norwegian writer and explorer Thor Heyerdahl travelled across a large section of the Pacific Ocean by raft in 1947. By what name was his raft and the expedition known?
You've got me there. I think I will have to pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Nice to chat with you. We have Roslyn, is it, in Berwick. Hey, Roslyn.
Oh, I rang up for two questions ago.
Oh, which one did you ring up for?
Oh, the one about the wealth that they lost and gained again. Yeah. So I do know, I used to know this, but I can't recall it at the moment. I just can't remember, but I did know it, and there was a film about it.
That's right. In fact, I think about 15 years ago, we had Thor Heyerdahl's granddaughter come on and talk to Tony Delroy at one point.
Yes, I've actually been to Peru or Colombia and seen where they made the raft. But I can't remember.
That's all right, Rosalind. It's very nice to hear from you.
Thank you. Bye.
Lots of you do have it. Lorella has it. Leroy knows it. So does Jim and Harry and Eric and Lorella and Joan and Ed. Also Marjorie and Alan and Sebastian and Peter and Maria and Joe in Wodonga. That is also on the list. Don't you worry about that. Okay, who's up next? Andrew in Smithton. Hey, Andrew.
Hello, Suzanne. How are you?
Yeah, tonight? Not bad. Now, Andrew, a Norwegian writer and explorer Thor Heyerdahl travelled across a large section of the Pacific Ocean by raft in 1947. By what name was the raft and the expedition known?
I'd like to answer the question, but first thing I want to say is rhubarb relish is a wonderful thing and nobody's ever had it before. So, rhubarb relish. That's right.
No one's ever had it. What do you mean?
I mean, they have, but it's not a very well-known thing.
But I don't think I've ever had rhubarb relish.
Yeah. I never had either. And it's...
Well, when did you have it?
2 nights ago.
And under what circumstances did you have it, Andrew?
I was given it to my grandmother, Mafia, in Smithton in Tasmania.
Yep.
Helene and Liv. I don't think they'll be up.
So what, they made it for you?
Yeah.
Okay, and it was good?
Absolutely incredible.
Right, and you reckon it should be a thing?
It is a thing.
It is. Oh, it is a thing now. Okay. Spreading the word, everybody. Rhubarb relish is the next big thing. Yeah. Okay. Now, Andrew, let's get on to the question. Norwegian writer and explorer Thor Heyerdahl travelled across a large section of the Pacific Ocean by raft in 1947. By what name was the raft and the expedition known?
Contiki.
Contiki is correct. And that raft is still on display in Norway at one of their maritime museums, actually.
He was a massive specimen of a man as well, by the way.
Now, Contiki, he actually named the raft for the Inca god Viracocha, for whom Contiki was said to be an old name.
Really?
There you go. Now, could I repeat the answer to the crop? That crop was kumara or sweet potato, Jill. Now, Ross wonders where he can get himself some rhubarb relish. Is it for sale in the shops, Andrew, or do people have to make it?
I haven't seen it in the shops.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think there's an opportunity here for your relatives to maybe get in. Start selling it.
Also, I'd like to say the firstborn Divine was born on Norfolk Island.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There you go. You have a Norfolk Island connection. Okay, let's, Andrew, move to question 17. Colonised by Germany in the late 19th century, Kaiser Wilhelm's Land and the Bismarck Archipelago are today part of which country?
Papua New Guinea.
Papua New Guinea is correct, Andrew. Well done. All right, that was 17. Only 3 questions to go. We may need ourselves some songs. I was trying to think of any Pacific kind of themed songs. I wonder if any of you can come up with some.
I'll blow that up.
What, have you got any?
Any songs?
Well, I mean, can you think of any that are good Pacific ocean-related songs? I was trying to think of one to play at the start of the hour, and I couldn't.
Anything by Salmon Dub is quite good.
Yes, Jenny's saying the Contiki expedition. That must be what those European trips are named after. And I think the spirit of what goes on the modern Contikis are a little different to what Thor Heyerdahl was all about, for sure. Okay, Andrew, question 18.
Men at Work, I'd say, Down Under. That's an Islander song. Because, you know, New Zealand is the East Island of Tasmania.
Right, let's get on with this question. Question 18. During World War II, John F. Kennedy, later, of course, President of the United States, was rescued from an island after his patrol boat PT-109 was cut in half by a Japanese destroyer. Local Solomon Islanders carried a message asking for help to local Allied headquarters. On what was the message written?
Coconut.
Yes, it was written on a coconut. It was written on the shell. After the war, Kennedy got the coconut shell back. It sat on his office desk in the White House.
Yes, I do know.
Well, you got it right. Yeah, that could be a nice spy island home. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Oh, Elvis's Blue Hawaii. We have to see what we've got too. Okay, Andrew, 19. Riots in Tahiti broke out in 1995 over the resumption of French nuclear testing at which French Polynesian atoll? Mururoa Atoll. You are all over this. Let's build the tension up, Andrew. You could be about to take this out. Question 20 in our Pacific-themed history quiz tonight. Why is nothing recorded to have happened in Samoa on Friday, December the 30th, 2011?
Because there's a coup.
It is not because there was a coup. I'm so sorry, Andrew. You were very close, but not quite close enough. Okay, there is a full board. Dave from Perth has been waiting a long time. Hi, Dave.
How's things, Suzanne?
Not bad, Dave. You've come in. Do you think you can do a Bradbury for us?
No. Well, if my question's right, I might, but yeah, geez.
Okay, it's question 20. Why is nothing recorded to have happened in Samoa on Friday, December the 30th, 2011?
I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm bombing out.
That is a pity, Dave. Farewell.
Right. I was wide to the table, then you said 2011. Yeah, so, yeah.
Right. Thanks. We have Noel from Broadwater. Hi, Noel.
Hello, Suzanne.
Do you know why nothing is recorded to have happened in Samoa on Friday, December the 30th, 2011?
I don't know, but I suspect it may have something to do with the dateline being moved. And that will be my answer.
Yes, that is effectively the answer. Nothing actually happened because that date never happened in Samoa. They skipped the day. They moved across the international dateline at the end of Thursday, the 29th of December. Yeah. So the whole country shifted from the eastern to the western side of the dateline on that day. Noel. Excellently done, Noel. Do you have any song requests, Noel?
Beat the Devil.
Beat the Devil.
Chris Christopherson.
Okay. I don't know if we have it, but I'll tell you what, I'll put on Christine Arnoux's Island Home and then I'll see if we have your request.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations, Noel. All right, I'll catch up with you in a few weeks. There is Noel from Broadwater, winner of our Pacific-themed history quiz tonight. Yeah, lots of you coming in because they changed the international dateline or they moved to the different side of it on that date. Thanks to all of you who texted in and played our history quiz tonight.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.